Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, while the players had the day off, we do not here on Locked On Steelers. We have a full podcast ready to go for you today with comments from Josh Dobbs that he made over the weekend about how he's adjusting to year two in this offense and some of the changes that Randy Fichtner is making to the Todd Haley offense. We'll also do a little mini mailbag at the end of today's podcast. You guys had a lot of questions for me today, both on Twitter and via email, about some of the things that are happening at training camp. So we'll do that as well today. But let's start today, as we do every day, with some news and notes. The Pittsburgh Steelers ran a quarterback sneak during Monday's practice. I missed this one, I'll be honest. I wrote this down in my notes as a fumbled snap. They were doing a drill backed up at their own goal line. Ben was under center. He took the snap from Pouncey and immediately fell to the ground. And I thought, oh, it must have been a fumbled snap, and wrote it down and moved on to the next play. Come to find out later that night from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN on his Twitter feed, he tweeted that was a quarterback sneak that they were running during that drill. And who knew? Who knew the Pittsburgh Steelers could run a quarterback sneak? We haven't seen one in so long, really the entirety of Todd Haley's tenure in Pittsburgh. I don't think the Steelers ran any quarterback sneaks. And of course, this really came up during the Jacksonville playoff loss when the Steelers had 2 4th-and-1s and they elected to not run a quarterback sneak on either play. And of course, the first one, they ran that pitch play to Le'Veon Bell that was doomed from the start. So interesting in a couple ways, right? One, the quarterback sneak is back in Pittsburgh. I think fans everywhere will be happy to hear that. But two, the fact that they felt the need to actually practice this in training camp, they actually ran a quarterback sneak in training camp, really interesting. And it doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, you don't want to hit the quarterback, so the defense isn't really going to react to that play. Do you really need to practice Ben falling forward for a yard? I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe. Really interesting, though. I think it might have been more, I think, to send a message to the fans who were there watching that day. Hey, you know, the quarterback sneak is back in the city of Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin commenting on Le'Veon Bell's current holdout situation, or I guess, is it a holdout? Is it not? I guess he's not technically a Steeler right now, right? He's not under contract. He has a contract offer, which is the franchise tag, but he hasn't signed it yet. So, you know, whatever. It's a technicality if it's a holdout or not, right? I mean, at this point, he's not proving anything by holding out. He's not, you know, it's only out of spite at this point that Le'Veon Bell is not in camp. But Tomlin hoping that Le'Veon Bell comes back even sooner and in even better shape than a season ago. And some people have taken that as a slight on Le'Veon Bell, given the slow start that Le'Veon had at the beginning of last season. Tomlin maybe sending a message through the media to let Le'Veon know you need to be even better shape than you were a season ago, because last season he did get off to that slow start. I don't know if I read it that way. I think Tomlin, again, is just trying to get Le'Veon back into camp as soon as possible. But very well could be the case that they felt like Le'Veon Bell came into camp or came into practice, I guess. It was a week before the start of the regular season. Camp had been long over by that point. But it's likely that, you know, maybe it is likely that they felt like Le'Veon did not come into the best shape. And so that maybe contributed to the slow start that he had in 2017. We'll see when he comes back. I would expect, though, that no matter what, he's coming back a week before, and we'll see what kind of shape he's in. The Chicago Bears and Roquan Smith, the inside linebacker out of Georgia, are having a bit of a contract dispute. The rookie is not willing to give up any guaranteed money, and the Bears want him to sign a contract that says if he gets suspended at any point, that he would have to give back part of his guaranteed money. Now, this is really interesting because this goes back to that helmet-to-helmet rule, the leading with the helmet rule that the NFL instituted a couple months ago. We talked about it at the time that it was a poorly constructed rule, and you know, again, all the controversy that was around it and all of the gray areas in it and not a lot of clarity as to what constitutes leading with the helmet. Are they going to call it on, you know, defensive linemen or offensive linemen leading with the helmet? What constitutes the 15-yard penalty versus a suspension? And I think Roquan Smith, rightfully so, has some of those same concerns of his own. He is not willing to sign any contract that gives up guaranteed money in the event that he is suspended due to this rule and all of the gray areas that come with it. Again, playing the inside linebacker spot in the National Football League now leaves you susceptible to this new leading with the helmet rule, and then potential suspension. And so this is one of those unintended consequences I don't think the NFL really considered when they were putting together this rule. I think it's, as I said at the time, while player safety is paramount, no doubt about it, this was a poorly constructed rule. There's far too much gray area in this. It was, you know, again, it's one of those things that they just tried to shove into the rule book to save face here. But again, there's just too much... There's not enough known about how this rule is going to be officiated on a week-to-week basis, and it leads to things like this where the Bears can't get their rookie in camp because of this contract dispute, something we've never seen before with a player refusing to give up any guaranteed money in the event of suspension, and it's all because of this new NFL leading with the helmet policy. A really interesting thing happening out in Chicago, and it seems like at this point they are at a complete impasse, and we'll see if and when a deal does get done there between Roquan Smith and the Chicago Bears. Thursday is the start of the preseason, the Hall of Fame game between the Chicago Bears and Baltimore Ravens, and that will be our first chance to get a look at Lamar Jackson, the first-round pick from the Baltimore Ravens, their new quarterback of the future. Of course, if you believe reports out of Baltimore at their training camp, Joe Flacco, of course, having the camp of his life. He is Joe Montana reincarnate out there in Baltimore, even after having such a poor season a year ago. There's going to be questions all season, and I think Joe Flacco is going to be playing all season in the back of his mind, knowing that a couple poor performances here and there, like he had a season ago, and we could be looking at Lamar Jackson taking over. It will eventually happen at some point there. You don't draft a quarterback like Lamar Jackson in the first round to sit him forever. So Joe Flacco is certainly going to be feeling like the heat is on, and I'm sure he feels like that today with Lamar Jackson there in camp. But again, Thursday will be our first chance to see Lamar Jackson in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. And speaking of new quarterbacks in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns may be planning to sit Baker Mayfield for the entirety of the 2018 season. A lot of reports coming out of camp that Baker Mayfield is going to take some time to grow into the eventual starter in Cleveland, and that maybe the Browns are preparing to start Tyrod Taylor for the entirety of the 2018 season. Hugh Jackson saying that Baker Mayfield is the quarterback of the future in Cleveland, and that's an interesting way to phrase that, right? Because we all know that he's the quarterback of the future. Is he the quarterback of today is the question, and that may not be the case. I think it would be, well, it'd be very Cleveland of this to happen, right? I mean, you'd have to go back a long, long, long way to see any first-round quarterback at this point who has sat their entire rookie season, right? I mean, especially first overall picks in the draft to sit their entire rookie season. I mean, I honestly cannot remember the last time the first overall pick sat the entire season. So for the Browns to sit Baker Mayfield, especially on a team that has been 1-31 in the last two seasons, right? I mean, you want to get Baker Mayfield wrapped. You want to get him in live NFL action. And I understand that there's a bunch of excitement in Cleveland right now because, you know, they feel like they've amassed all this young talent and there's all this excitement there. And if you talk to Browns fans, I mean, they're even excited about Tyrod Taylor. They'll tell you that, oh, Tyrod Taylor, he's played in a playoff game before. He's exactly the quarterback to take the Browns, you know, out of the rut that they've been in and get them back into contention. We shall see, right? I mean, Tyrod Taylor made the playoffs on a technicality last season, but okay. Yeah. I mean, he did play in a playoff game against Jacksonville. I would be shocked for a team that is 1-31. You took your quarterback of the future first overall to then sit him for an entire season. I don't see that being the case. I think Baker Mayfield will see the field at some point in 2018. All right. And then I had a chance to be a part of the media session with Josh Dobbs over the weekend. He was talking about how he's adjusting to year two and what are the differences between the Todd Haley offense and the Randy Feuchner offense.
Obviously, it's a little different with Randy as OCs, different installs, but you've been through the offense once, and so right. You understand, you know, how to control line of scrimmage, do different things, mess with the defense. You understand, you know, where the ball's supposed to go in each play and how we're trying to attack the defense. So it definitely helps having that year, you know, under your belt to fully understand and get a chance to fully, you know, get incorporated into the offense.
It's not your first look at the playbook, you know, or not, but, you know.
Yeah, no, not at all. Sure. So I feel really comfortable with the playbook. I feel real comfortable out there, and I've been able to execute well at a high level.
How different is Randy's offense from what Todd had?
Similar. We still have the same lingo and stuff, so It wasn't a lot of change, but of course the play calling and different situational stuff has changed. So we've added a ton of stuff. So there's differences, and there's differences in, you know, the play calling and the approach of our offense, which is cool. It's cool to see, get Randy's thumbprint on it and get a chance to dive into his mind and how he wants to attack defenses and what he wants to do in different situations. And so he's been doing a good job of game planning stuff and putting us in good situations to be successful out there.
So Josh Dobbs confirming what we've heard in the past, which is that the Todd Haley offense and the Randy Fichtner offense is not much different. It's more of an evolution. Randy Fichtner really putting his own stamp on it. And we've seen that throughout camp. I'm glad to hear that this isn't in any way stunting the growth of someone like Josh Dobbs, right? The worst thing that can happen to a young quarterback like Josh Dobbs is that they change offensive coordinators and change entire schemes very early on in their career. We haven't seen that yet. And so glad to hear from Dobbs that, you know, he's kind of taking to this playbook well. And year two, even with a different offensive coordinator, it isn't a, you know, vastly different scheme. And, you know, you're kind of seeing that on the field too, right? I mean, the Steelers are running kind of the same stuff, just out of different formations. One thing I've liked to see out of Randy Fichtner so far during this camp is the way that he's trying to use mismatches all over the field and trying to get someone like, you know, he's using at times that formation of AB, Vance McDonald, Juju in the slot, you know, getting Vance McDonald split out wide, potentially against a cornerback, or get him out there on a linebacker out in the middle of nowhere. Same thing with someone like Jalen Samuels, using him in the slot or using him all the way out wide, maybe hopefully getting him matched up against a linebacker out in open space where he can take advantage of that mismatch, using two running backs on the field at the same time. You know, again, just providing, just giving defenses more things to think about. And then even working in some trick plays here and there as well. So Randy Fichtner definitely putting his stamp on the offense, but no need to fear about this, you know, that him changing anything up. It definitely doesn't feel like that this is a vastly new offense in Pittsburgh. And then finally today, let's get to that mailbag. You guys had a lot of good questions today. I asked for questions both on Twitter and via email, and I got a pretty good response. So let's go over some of those questions today. First one, who is the next best wide receiver after AB and Juju? Justin Hunter or James Washington? That's an interesting question. You know, we talked about Damon Patterson. I think Damon Patterson has been good. Marcus Tucker has been good. Like I said, Tevin Jones has been pretty solid as another guy at the back end of the roster at wide receiver. But definitely the next best wide receiver after AB and Juju to this point, to me, has been Justin Hunter. Just a little bit more consistent. Him and James Washington, I wouldn't say has had a bad camp, but he hasn't had a great camp either, right? I mean, he definitely looks like a rookie out there. There's some parts of his game that he certainly has to work on. And I think one of those being the combat catch stuff that we talked about. I mean, look, you know, James Washington was so hyped up as being this combat catch guy. I think it was set up for disappointment, right? I mean, those are the toughest catches to make in the National Football League when you've got a pro corner draped all over you and you've still got to bring that in. Washington has good hands. I mean, he hasn't had any drops in the open field or when he's been in the open receiver. And I think his route running shows some polish to it, just like we saw. I think his speed is very deceptive. But again, you know, I think at times where you expect him to make those kind of combat catches, he does not. On the other hand, with Justin Hunter, look, he's had a great camp. I mean, there's no doubt about it, right? I mean, the guy is dominant at times. He's a big receiver, a tall receiver, athletic. You know, he has the full package as far as the physique that you want from a wide receiver. Now, the question for Justin Hunter has always been not about training camp, but about the regular season, about live game situation. Can he put it together in those situations? And I think, you know, you can't answer that in training camp, right? So I will definitely say that Justin Hunter is the third best wide receiver on this team right now in camp. But again, for Justin Hunter, it's always been about live game situations. So we'll have to see as we get into preseason and then even in the regular season. How is Matthew Thomas doing? All right, that's kind of a loaded question, right? Because I think there's a couple parts to the Matthew Thomas thing. Matthew Thomas, of course, being the inside linebacker from Florida State who was undrafted, he has been pretty hyped up coming into camp. And I know a lot of people have put their hopes on Matthew Thomas as being this kind of emergent talent at inside linebacker that could even overtake guys like John Bostic or Tyler Matakevich or Vince Williams for one of those starting spots early in his career. I will say this. It's pretty clear that it's going to be either John Bostic or Tyler Matakevich, or maybe even both. I mean, like, it could very easily be that both of those guys are your starting inside linebackers day one. And not to say that Matthew Thomas has had a bad camp. He has not. I think, actually, Matthew Thomas has been very good. You definitely see the athleticism that he has. You know, I mean, the guy was a highly recruited high school athlete. He did well in his first couple years at Florida State. He got caught up in some things at Florida State that, you know, that hurt him off the field. But Matthew Thomas definitely has talent. You can see that. Now the second part of that, and why I say that's a loaded question, is because part of the Matthew Thomas equation, you also have to take into account how LJ Fort's doing, right? Because that, I think, is Matthew Thomas's main competition at camp right now. We're talking about the fourth inside linebacker spot. If we assume Vince Williams is going to make the team, if we assume that John Bostic is going to make the team, and we assume that Tyler Matakavich is going to make the team, and I think all three of those guys are pretty solid locks right now to make the roster, well, then, you know, we're talking about the fourth inside linebacker spot. That comes down to LJ Fort and Matthew Thomas. And so while I think Matthew Thomas is having a good camp, I think LJ Fort's having a great camp. I think he looks very good. As we talked about him the other day, his ability to rush the passer, you know, we already know that he's a very good passing down linebacker, as we've seen him used in the past. Remember, when Shazier went down a year ago, the Steelers turned to LJ Fort on passing downs at inside linebacker. So they definitely feel like he's capable in those situations. And he showed you. I think he had a deflected pass on a big third down in that game against Jacksonville. So look, LJ Fort is already a guy who's played meaningful minutes in the National Football League. He's having a good camp. It's going to be tough, I think, for Matthew Thomas to push him. Now, is there room on the roster for a developmental inside linebacker like Matthew Thomas, especially considering what the Steelers have at that position right now? And, you know, that position certainly being one where you could definitely use a player who will eventually become a starter on this team. Yes. And I think that's where you could make the argument that Matthew Thomas could be pushing this team to keep five inside linebackers. That'll be something we talk about as we get closer to the 53-man cutdown. But at this point, I think Matthew Thomas, having a good camp, I don't know if he's going to make it above someone like LJ Fort. How many times have they traded out an inside linebacker for a defensive back? I've been thinking that their plan was to use one inside linebacker and put an extra strong safety for the majority of the time this season, but haven't heard them doing that much of that this camp. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because I have been thinking the same thing. I think a lot of us have been thinking that throughout the offseason, especially considering how the Steelers addressed the safety position in the draft by taking Terrell Edmonds and Marcus Allen. They also added Nat Burr. They added Morgan Burnett. I mean, they loaded up at the safety position. That hasn't been the case so far in camp. Now, again, we're just a week in. So, you know, again, the formation you're talking about is really a dime look, right? Where it's going to be three safeties or six defensive backs at the same time. Now, again, as we go through camp, we're starting to see more and more installs into these, both offensively and defensively. And so it may just be that the Steelers haven't gotten to kind of the dime looks on their defense just yet. Only a week into camp. So at this point, the answer is no, right? They have not done any dime looks so far through camp. That's not to say that they won't. They just haven't yet. And again, as they do, you know, I will update you here on Locked On Steelers. Can you rank the cornerbacks? Yes, I can. Joe Hayden, one. Joe Hayden looks phenomenal this camp. Mike Hilton, two. Mike Hilton, again, I think, he's another guy having a phenomenal camp. He's been very, very good so far. Number three, Artie Burns. Artie Burns, I mean, not a great camp, but his worst reps have come against Antonio Brown. Really, whose bad reps don't come against Antonio Brown? So he's been solid as well. An improvement over Artie Burns in the past, for sure. Third best corner, fourth best corner. It's so close. It's between Cody Sensabaugh and Cam Sutton, and I didn't expect to say that coming into camp. I really thought Cam Sutton was gonna establish himself there as the third corner, but I'm right there with the coaching staff. You know, they were rotating reps between Cody Sensabaugh and Cam Sutton when Artie went down. And yeah, I mean, I'm right there with them. Cody Sensabaugh is having a great, great, great camp. I know this guy who struggled last year. He lost his starting spot to Cam Sutton, but, and that was in Joe Hayden's absence. But yeah, they're both having really good camps. I guess I would probably say right now, I guess Cam is better. Just because he can play nickel and outside. But I mean, take nothing away from Cody Sensabaugh. He's also, I would rank this 4A and 4B if I could, but just to not cop out here, we'll go Hayden, Hilton, Artie, Cam, Cody, and then I would put Deshaun Phillips next. I think Deshaun Phillips is having a good, good camp. He's very physical. I like what I'm seeing from him. And then Brian Allen, I would say, is next. Brian Allen is just, I mean, look, he's better. I think he's getting better. Again, this was a guy who was barely used at all last season, really just a special teams player. He's so raw at the position. He's going to be hard to cut, no doubt about it, for the Steelers. I mean, again, because he does have that size, the speed, the athleticism that you want from a corner, he's just super raw at the position. It's going to be a hard cut for them, but he's clearly not. You can see the rawness of Brian Allen out there. He's not on the same level as some of those other guys. And I think, so going over that list, right? I mean, you're talking about Joe Hayden, phenomenal camp. Mike Hilton, phenomenal camp. Artie Burns is having a very good camp. Cam Sutton, Cody Sensabaugh, again, two other guys having good camps. I think Deshaun Phillips is having a really good camp. And, again, he's a nickel corner, so I don't know if the Steelers have another spot for a nickel corner on this roster, considering that Cam Sutton can play nickel as well. And then, then you go to Brian Allen, who is raw at the position, getting better, but still a little raw. You should be excited about these corners. I mean, you really, really should. This is the best corner group they've had in a while. Can Vince Williams become an enforcer like Greg Lloyd and James Harrison? And or a leader like James Ferrier? Not talking production, just enforcer and leader. I think the leader on the defense is Cam Sutton. It's not even close. Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward is the leader of that defense. He is vocal out there. He is the guy leading that defense right now. As far as whether or not Vince Williams can become an enforcer like Greg Lloyd or James Harrison, I think that's what he wants to be. I think that's who he aspires to be. I don't know if he'll ever get there. I mean, I guess he kind of is. Who was the guy? I would put Vince Williams more in line with someone like, and this is not, I'm not trying to slight Vince Williams here, but he's more like a Lee Flowers or like a Myron Bell, right? A big hit guy. He's out there. He's physical. He's trying to be physical. I mean, that is what he brings to his game. But again, he's not going to be a top guy. I don't think Vince Williams is ever going to be. You talk about James Ferrier. A lot of people are making the comparison from James Ferrier to John Bostic, and a guy who underachieved his whole career, maybe was misused at some places, and then finally gets into an organization like Pittsburgh where he can blossom. A lot of people saying James Ferrier and John Bostic could be that way. I actually maybe could see that. I want to see more out of John Bostic. I want to see him in preseason games. I want to see him in live game situation. He definitely hasn't been bad so far. And that competition between him and Matakevich is a real one. And there's not a real leader right now because I think both are playing relatively well. Again, the whole run defense is playing really well, and that's what you want to see. But as far as Vince Williams, look, he wants to be that big hit enforcer type. I don't know that he'll ever be like Greg Lloyd or James Harrison. I think he's more going to fit into like a Lee Flowers or Myron Bell type of role where, he's a big hitter, but he's kind of more of a situational guy than a top player on that defense. All right, and that is going to do it for our mailbag, and that'll really do it for the podcast today. Thank you all for listening. I will be back tomorrow to recap another day of Steelers practice. Again, the Steelers having the day off today, but they will be back tomorrow, and I will too, right here on Locked On Steelers.